Take your Bible and open with us once again tonight to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. I'd like to continue with the thought tonight, before Bethlehem, before Bethlehem. Somehow or another, we have it in our minds that Bethlehem was the beginning of the Christ child. But my friend, nothing could be further from the truth. And for that reason, God inspired John, the beloved, to write and to tell us about what took place before Bethlehem. And so if you'll stand with me for a moment, I want to look at the first 5 verses of the Gospel of John. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It should be capital W and all when it says Word in your Bible. If it's not, you need to get you a different one. And the Bible says, the verse 2, "And the same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3, "All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Let's pray. Father, help us now as we stand before this group and before the unseen audience. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, may your word find its lodging place in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. For those that did not get part one, let me just say a couple of things if I can. John is a very concise, what John has to say. John is not one of the synoptic gospels. I teach the book of Matthew, and I chose Matthew because it's a large gospel, and it contains a great deal of what are contained in the other two synoptics. And while I teach through the book of Matthew in Bible college every 3 years, it takes me a year to teach it. I teach for 32 classes, 32 two-hour classes to go through the book of Matthew. But while we're going through, we cover most of the major events of the life of Christ. But John is a gospel, but it's a gospel all of its own. As I said this morning, it is from God's perspective, and it's looking at things from a different aspect and a different avenue. Luke spends 2,500 words describing to us the incarnation in the first couple of chapters of the book of Luke. But on the other hand, John, in John verse 14, the first chapter, verse 14, John summarizes it in 5 words. The scripture says, "The Word was made flesh." And that's how he summarized it. The Word was made flesh. The Word. The Word. Melinda was sharing with me in the Spanish language. I was talking about, in the Greek language, the word logos. The logos. The Word. And it takes in the idea of the concept behind the action. And so it's not just an action, it's the concept behind the action. So in other words, it's the thought, it's the creativity, it's the blueprint, it's all of those things. In the Spanish language, when it's translated, the word is translated, and they use the word verb. In the beginning was the verb. And of course, a verb is an action word. A verb is an action word. And so it translates, "He was the verb. He was the one who's responsible for all the action," and he was, amen. He was indeed. To try to define capital W, little O-R-D, would take a man the rest of his life trying to define that word. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody asked me, said, "Preacher, do you think that we could translate the Bible in today's vernacular?" And I said, "No, we don't have enough words." I said, "But if anybody were to try it and they were to do it accurately, you'd have to roll it around in a wheelbarrow because it would be that many. It would take whole books to just to convey one thought that God conveyed to mankind. Just one thought, understand." And so we begin this morning talking about the eternality of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was, it's in an imperfect tense, and so it means it continues to be. It was, which is true, but it is, and it will be. It's continuous in the imperfect tense. And then, of course, we talked about in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the wisdom behind everything that's concrete, the conception behind all that is concrete. He was the architect. He was the engineer. He was the production supervisor and the inspector all rolled into one. I mean, when we talk about the Word, He was. Amen? He is the Word. And then we talked about the environment of the Word. The Bible said, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. No doubt about that. The Word was with God. The environment. And then we dealt with the essence of the Word. The Scripture says, and the Word was God. Now, let me just back up right here and just make this statement. If you don't get John 1:1 right, you don't need to go any further. Until you get that one nailed down, everything else, my friend, it's not going to add up. And the cults don't have it right. They don't believe it. They don't believe what we just said. The Mormons believe that he was a created being, that he was a little lower than the angels. He was something above an angel, but below, that he was some form of demagogue or some other things. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that he was the very Son of God. I asked a Jehovah's Witness to pray with me one day, and he said, no, you'll pray in the name of the triune God. And I said, that's right. I'll pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. I sure will. If I pray, I'll pray in His name. And so, the essence of the Word, and the Word was God. But can we move on to verse number 2? And let me just give you a couple more thoughts to add to where we were this morning. I want you to see the establishment of the Word. Now, when I say that, don't let that scare you. It wasn't that He needs to be established, it's that we need to be established. The Bible says the same, who? The Word. John, when he writes this, when the Holy Ghost writes this down, he is sure of the person of Christ. He says the same. And then he says, was in the beginning. He is sure of the place of the Lord Jesus. He was sure of the person of the Lord Jesus, the same was in the beginning, as sure of the place. And the Scripture says the same was in the beginning, which had no beginning. And the Scripture says with God. Can I say it this way? John, when he writes, there is no question of his preeminence. By the time John wrote at the latter part of the first century, the Gnostics were running crazy. Heretics were running to and fro. There were all sorts of isms and schisms, and the devil had done his very best to confuse and to sort and to cause all sorts of dismay. Anybody ever seen the shell game played? You know what I'm talking about? You take a cup or you take a shell or something, put a pea underneath it, and you switch them all around. You've seen how that's done, and then you have to choose which one it is. You understand that's exactly what the devil has done. The devil cannot duplicate what God has done, so rather, he tries to confuse what God's done. And so lost humanity sees Christendom, now think about what I'm saying, Christendom is everything from Catholicism, everything including Russian Orthodox, Egyptian Coptic, everything in between that, all the way through, all of the denominations, all of the Protestant denominations, and through that, and then it goes into all the different cults and all the different, into the crazies, you know, all of the different crazy things and crazy aspects. Your Jim Joneses and your David Koresh's, and some of you look at me and don't know what that's about. Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you don't know. But there have been some real crazies in my lifetime, some real nuts. and that claimed all sorts of stuff, but they got out of the book and they headed off some direction. And but there, as far as the lost world's concerned, they're all part of Christendom. But I want you to understand that when John writes, he is nailing down the preeminence of the Word. The Scripture says the same was in the beginning with God. Now, wait a minute. We're not going to introduce creation till we get to verse number 3. I told you that John 1 predates Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. We don't get into creation till we get down to verse number 3. So the two previous verses, verse 1 and verse 2, established the preeminence of the Savior above and beyond, independent of creation, and He exists in His own right. And that's what He's trying to establish here. And so the establishment of the Word. So we've said that there is the eternality of the Word, the environment of the Word, the essence of the Word, the establishment of the Word. Look in verse number 3. I want to say something about the essentiality of the Word. What does that mean, preacher? Well, we have dealt with it somewhat in the previous message, but I want you to see what the Scripture begins in verse number 3. It says, all things, and he's going to go on to say we're created by Him. All things. Can I dwell there just for a second? All things. And I know this sounds haughty, but there's actually a mistake in the Strong's Concordance. I found it this morning early. And Strong's missed a word. He's close, but he missed it. He missed the tense. And so Vines had it right, but Strong's had it wrong. And I wasn't sure of that. And so I checked Greek manuscript, and I went back and forth, and I was looking, and I was back and forth, and he got it wrong. It's a related word, but the word that Strong says was used there just means everything. For the word all, you know, a lot of times I'll say, you know what all means in Greek? It means all. Well, understand that you can twist the form, or I say twist, you can change the form of the word and cause it to mean different things. There is a word that means all-inclusive. But the word here is bigger than that. The word here is stronger than that. The word here is not a basket full of eggs. The word here is one egg, two eggs, three eggs, four eggs, five eggs, a dozen eggs. Each and every egg individually. If I just hand you a basket with 12 eggs in it, you have a dozen eggs. But if I hand you a basket and I hand you one egg at a time, I have handed you every egg individually. Somebody said, what difference does that make? From the biggest to the smallest, God, through Christ Jesus, assigned the creation to the Lord Jesus. We always think about God the Father as being the Creator, but the truth of the matter is the New Testament reveals to us that it was God the Son who was the Creator. All things were made by Him. All things. When you use the word and when you do a plural with a neuter gender, in the plural, it means holy, but it means holy one by one, each and every one. And there are examples of that. He uses the same thought, the same word is used in 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. He doesn't search all the big group of things. What does He search? He searches every single thing one at a time. That's the word. It's the exact word. It's the same phrase. Strong's missed it. It's the same phrase that is used that each and every individual one. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying all creation. All creation. All of it individually.
one at a time. You say, do you think that he spoke it all into existence one at a time? He didn't have to. But understand that he gave every micro detail to everything that he created. All things. If it had been a man doing it, we'd have got the big part right. And the details wouldn't have been too fine. Is that right? Because that's the part you can see, the big part. Did you understand that the deeper you go, the more you can see God in the details? Just the further you go, the deeper it gets. The more, it's amazing. And somebody said, well, it was all about the details, didn't care about the big picture. No, just the opposite. The bigger you go, the more God you see. The bigger it gets, the more you see God's hand. The Scripture tells us about all creation, but the Scripture also tells us about an active creativity. The Bible says, were made. But let me go back and once again tell you that this is in passive tense. And so the word were here, it would be the idea to make. Again, as if it has not yet occurred. All things were made to make by him. In other words, he's still creating. Every day. If it didn't, the world ceased to be. Things are reproducing, things are changing, of course it is. This old way, everything about it, the creation is continuing. Hey, this morning the sun had a million explosions, and that's how come we got warm today. Because the sun was exploding, and the sun was doing those things, and it was a huge hydrogen explosion took place on our star called the sun, and that's why why we got warm today, and that's why the temperature got up to where it was. He is continually making. He is in the process of making, and this whole world is making. Aren't you glad things continue to be made? I mean, I'm finally getting some of the scars healed up on my hands. From the big teardown, maybe, finally, possibly, finally still limping, but finally getting some things healed up. How would you like to go through life if you tore your skin? It's going to be like that from the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be a hard thing? If you broke your leg, it's never going to heal. It'll be like that the rest of your life. Look back through your life and think about all the surgeries and all the teeth and all the things that you've had fixed over time. And all the things the doctors give you medicine for. What if all those things collectively were still wrong with you? Oh my goodness, what a mess we'd be in. No wonder the Lord said that our bodies, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And they are. And I say to God be the glory. Active creativity, but the Bible tells us about an almighty creator. The Bible says, by him. By him. So can I just say it this way? That the Word, capital W-O-R-D, He is the sovereign source of the creation. In the beginning, God. The Word, the Scripture says, all things were made by Him, and without Him, I'll get there in a moment, all things were made by Him. When we get down, some of you maybe at work, maybe if you ever used a micrometer, you know what a micrometer is? That's when you're a machinist, or when you get down, you have to measure things in little tiny things. You don't use a yardstick for that. I mean, you have a micrometer and you gauge it and you see where it's at, and you see it's past the perception of the eye. So you have to, we call it micing it. And so you mic it and you check it, and you can tell where by micing something and by checking it. And of course it goes down even be way beyond that, but that's as far as I have ever been. And so we use microns to determine that distance. But when we're talking about the big side of things, astronomers had to come up with a yardstick that something, because inches is not going to work. We're going to talk about how far is the sun away. Inches won't work. Feet's not going to work. Yards won't work. And even if we deal in miles, that's a lot of miles if we start dealing in it in that way. So scientists come up with the speed of light. How fast is the speed of light? Well, the speed of light travels at 186,273 miles per second. How fast is that, preacher? Well, if we were to shine a flashlight, standing right where we are, and we made a perfect arc all the way around the world, that light, if it could be seen, would go around the world 7.5 times in 1 second. That's how fast light is. That's why fiber optics has changed everything. You no longer have to be where you think you are. You don't have to be where, I mean, did you realize that almost all the TV stations are no longer here? You say, oh yeah, they come on in the afternoon. I see them, they're here. No, they're coming out of New York. They're coming out of Atlanta. They're coming out of all kinds of places. The only thing they're doing locally is the news. Everything else is coming out of somewhere else. You say, well, they look live. Well, think about it. If light travels at 286,000 miles per second, it don't take long to get them here to Atlanta. If you can go around the world 7.5 times in a second, all the way around it 7.5 times, it don't take long to get them here to Los Angeles. It don't take long to get them here from New York. It's imperceivable by us. We can't see it. We're not that fast. We can't understand that. We can't see that, but that's what's going on. Did you know that when you pick up the telephone and dial locally, did you know that your phone call, I'm not talking about cellular, I'm talking about on the hard line, did you know that your phone call goes to Rock Hill, South Carolina? If you call your neighbor that you can look out in the street and see his house across the street, when you dial his number, it goes to Rock Hill, South Carolina, and comes back. But it does it at 286,000 miles per second on a fiber. And basically, there's no time lapse. There is, but it's imperceivable. You can't perceive it. There's no pause. There's no delay. Nothing like that. It happens instantly. It happens simultaneously as far as we are concerned. And so they come up with that yardstick to measure big things. And so if you figure how far it is, if you figure 186,000 miles per second, and you figure in round numbers going around the world, you're talking about an amazing amount of miles, an amazing number that's almost inconceivable to us. So let me see if I can put it down to something where we can get to it. How far is the sun from us? How far is it in light years? Okay, let's measure it in light years. In light years, the sun is about 8 minutes away. It's about 8 minutes from here, if you could travel at the speed of light. So the speed that you see the light come off the sun, takes about eight minutes to get here. And the solar radiation that comes off of it takes a little longer than that. It doesn't move at the speed of light. And there's a storm, by the way, that just happened. And they sent out a warning a couple of days ago. There could be some issues as a result of it. But when you go out here in space, and when you get the most distant one that we can see, they claim that that thing is billions of light years away from us. In other words, traveling at 186,000 miles a second, the light that we're seeing is over a billion years old. It took that long for it to get here. It's that far away. So, preacher, I can't wrap my mind around that. Who can? Nobody can. The fact of the matter is, when we have something go supernova, when you have a star go supernova, it has occurred ever so often, go supernova and it even goes out of existence. They talk about seeing it in real time. You're not seeing it in real time. No. That happened years ago. It just got here. It's been dark. It's been gone. We're just now seeing it because it's that far away. When we talk about distance, when we talk about size, our sun is a star. Our planets revolve around a star. A lot of people don't understand that we get all of our light, our heat, everything that causes life on this planet comes from our star. And our star is a medium-sized star. It's not a great big one. As a matter of fact, there is a star called Antares. Antares is so big, you could put 64 million of our suns inside of that one star, Antares. That's how big Antares is. But that's not big, galactically speaking. In the constellation Hercules, there's a star that can hold 100 million Antares. And Antares is 64 million times the size of our sun. That's what's out there. You talk about how big is God? He's big. He's big. And he holds the whole thing in the palm of his hand. He's big. He's big. So I said, why are you trying to tell us, preacher, he's big? That's what I'm trying to tell. He's big. If you were to take a ride in the Milky Way, to go from one side of the Milky Way to the other side of the Milky Way, it'd take you 100,000 light years just to cross it. That's just our galaxy. It takes you 100,000 light years. I said this morning that it's moving at 200 mile an hour. It's rotating 200 mile an hour. But get this. Spinning at 200 mile an hour, it's going to take it 2 million years to revolve one time for us to get back to where we started. So a Milky Way year as a galaxy is 2 million years long. For it to go in a complete orbit and come back to where it started, take you 2 million years, and that's at 200 mile an hour. And the whole time we're flinging out to space, going somewhere, but we're not sure how fast or anything else, but we know we're moving, we just don't know how, when and where and how fast. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that all things were made by Him. And how you could study that and how you could look at that and try to say that something formed into nothing, nothing formed into something and blew up and got the big bang and all of that's going on. My friend, that takes a whole lot more faith to believe that than it does believe in the beginning God created. They talk about atheists not having any faith. Oh, they got a lot more faith. That takes a lot of faith to believe that mumbo jumbo. Good gracious. And without him, the scripture says, all things were made by him. Now let's look at it from a different perspective. Not only is the word the sovereign source of creation, but I want to say it this way. The word is the sole source of creation. What do you mean, preacher? Well, here we see a real Hebraism. Here is one of those times that even though he's speaking the Greek language when he's pinning this down, he's a Hebrew, he's a Palestinian Jew, so he's a Hebrew Jew, and he is talking the way they talk. It's common in Scripture to say something in the negative for the emphasis, or to say something in the negative to prove the positive. When you're, kids, you know what I'm talking about, to prove a math problem, if you're adding, what proves the math problem? Subtracting, is that right? And so you prove it by subtracting it. Hebrew uses that a lot. And the writer, the Holy Spirit, uses this. This is what's taking place. He uses the negative to emphasize the positive. And he says, and without him. Without him. That's an impossible thought. That the universe could even exist, that there would be anything without him. But the scripture says, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's an impossible thought, number one, without him. Number two, it's an indisputable truth. Without him was not anything made that was made. And let me once again share with you, the thought here is not anything made, not even one thing was made. Not even nary a thing was made. There is no such thing but what was made. And somebody said, oh no, preacher. In the laboratories, they're making all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but you know what they're doing? They're making stuff out of stuff. That's right. They're making stuff out of stuff. What are they using? They're using God's material to make stuff. Yeah, you can combine things, and you can make a hybrid, and you can make this, and you can make that. I mean, long time ago, Men learned that you could cross a donkey and a horse and get a mule. And that mules had certain characteristics that were favorable. And so men began to do that. Men also knew that you could save the seed of the strongest, the biggest, the best of your crop, save seed of that, replant that, and you would naturally develop the stronger. You'd do away with the weaker, and you'd develop the stronger. They've been doing that for a very long time. But understand, it's always something from something. Mankind's never been able to take carbon and create anything of any lasting value. And by the way, where are you going to get the carbon from? You got to have matter before you can create something. And all matter belongs to Him. It's God's matter. And so, let's talk about that for a second. Do you understand that we've talked about the big part, but now let's talk about the little part. I probably can get a hold of that big part better than I can get a hold of the little part. It's hard for me to understand splitting the atom. It's hard for me to understand the whole concept of atom. I know about atoms. We had to draw them in school. You got the proton, and you got the neutrons, and you got, I get that little, I can see the little thing spinning around, and I get that. But do you understand that an atom, which the universe is made out of, it is so small that an atom is less than 150 millionth of an inch in diameter. 150 millionth of a diameter. And did you understand that there are molecules, of course, that make up those? If you just took the molecules and one drop of water, just one drop, off an eyedropper, and you could take the molecules in that drop of water and turn it into sand, there'd be enough sand to go on a paving company to pave a 6-lane highway from New York City to Los Angeles, California, if you converted the molecules in one drop of water into sand. Now that'll blow your mind, because the molecules are so small, but yet they're very real. Look at the back of your hand. You're made up of atoms and molecules and all of those. I mean, it's true. And so, it's hard for us to understand. You take one cell. Now think about what I'm fixing to say. One cell, in each cell of a living being, it contains about 200 billion molecules of atoms. One cell. Just one cell. 200 billion molecules. And to think that God reduced Himself to a one cell. Is that right? If you believe a book, that's what you believe. But just as sure as 100 billion galaxies ain't no match for God, 100 billion molecules, 200 billion molecules, that ain't no match for God neither. He's big enough to be everywhere, and He's small enough to be conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of that virgin. You say, I can't get my mind around that. Well, you better believe it, whether you get your mind around it or not. Right. And I got news for you. If you don't believe that, we ain't got nothing else to discuss. The liberals and others said, well, it could have been this, could have been. Oh, no, you understand what I'm talking about. He was very God. Amen. He was very God. Well, preacher, that's not possible for God to become a single cell of like a human cell, yet without sin. That's why it's called faith. That's why it's called belief and believing. But do you understand in the code of that one little cell? Now listen to me. Every feature you have was contained within those 200 billion molecules of those atoms. 200 billion from your mama and 200 billion from your daddy. And everything that you are, your size, your hair color, everything that you are, your intelligence, everything about your body, everything about your DNA, everything that makes you who you are, were reduced to two cells. Is that right? In human conception. So if you believe that you were born, and you were, or you wouldn't be listening to the sound of my voice. Understand what I'm trying to say. If you can understand how human beings, how animals reproduce, how human beings reproduce, if you can understand the whole science and concept of conception, if you get a hold of that, my friend, then you have to understand that God, the very God of heaven, could contain all of His deity and all of His glory and all of His infinite wisdom and all of those things in those 200 billion cells, 200 billion molecules that form that cell. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Some of you, I've lost you, and I realize that. But I just about want to close my Bible and go to the house. It's blowed my mind just to try to understand the reality of how big God is. To be that little, how God could do that. And yet He did. And yet He has. And if you believe you were born, and you were, then you must understand it's possible for the human code to be handed down that way. And can I say hallelujah? He was born of a virgin. He was born in flesh like unto our sinful flesh, but with one exception, yet without sin. Hallelujah. That's what it says. Hallelujah. I believe in the immaculate. I don't believe in the immaculate conception on and on and on, the perpetual immaculate. But I do believe in the immaculate conception. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Man's hand was not involved. Hallelujah. It was God and very God that brought the Lord Jesus to this world. And then can I... Wow. I've had people say, you lost me, preacher, but it's bad when you lose yourself in the pulpit and you're the one preaching. The eternity of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The environment of the Word, and the Word was with God. The essence of the Word, and the Word was God. The establishment of the Word, the same was in the beginning with God. The essentiality of the Word, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. But can we close by the effect of the Word? The Bible says, in Him was life. In Him was life. We're talking here about the divine person. The Scripture says that God formed man out of the dust of the clay. And He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And what does the Scripture say? And man became a living soul. Where did life come from? It came from Him. Man would still be like a gingerbread man. Never have been, but he'd still be laying there in the dirt. God had formed it, he'd never got up. But when He breathed breath into him, he became a living soul. The Scripture says that there was life in the Word. In Him was life. Where did it reside? It resided in Him. He carried life. He was life. And the scripture says, and the life was the light of men. Where was the light? Where did life first reside? It resided in Him, the Word. But then look what the life faithfully revealed, and the life was the light of men. Hear me. God by fiat created, God spoke and it was. The whole animal kingdom, God spoke and they was. And I have seen some animals that was pretty smart. And I've seen some things, I've seen animals you can train to a lot of things. But animals are driven by instinct. One thing about animals have instinct. And that's the guiding light of an animal, it's an instinct. And a horse acts like a horse because it's a horse. It's because it's his instinct. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. And if you, I've petted that goat. I've messed with that goat. I've done all these things with that goat. Brianna hand raised that goat. Stephen trained that goat. But the day that goat butted me. You know why it butted me? Because it's a goat. And its instinct was to defend its bowl. And I was trying to shell corn in its bowl. And it butted me, or tried to nick me with his horn. You know why it did that? Because it's a goat. And you know the bad part? It had no remorse. It didn't. It had no conscience. It didn't have a bit of conscience about that. But the scripture says man was different. You see, the Bible says, and the life was the light of men. Man was completely created differently. Somebody said, we're mammals. We have mammal-like characteristics, but by friend, we are not mammals. God never one time breathed the breath of life into a mammal. They were created just by snapping, just by His word, like we would snap our fingers, let it be, pow, it was. It's that simple. But man, it was a hands-on project. And there was a distinct reason, a distinct purpose. And the life, Christ Jesus, was the light of men. What singles us out among all the other created beings? What singles us out as being different? The light of life that God breathed into man. That's right. And so there's life in the Word, but there's also light in the Word. The Bible says, and the light shineth in darkness. This is where the light competed, in a dark place. The light shineth in darkness. Then I must admit something to you. I'm still learning. As much as I've preached and as long as I'm still learning. I thought I knew what it was. That's the bad part. I thought I knew, so I never bothered to study it because I thought I knew. The latter part of verse 5 says, and the darkness comprehended it not. I always read that and had the idea that that means that, well, the darkness didn't get it. That light shineth in darkness, but the darkness didn't get it. That ain't what it means at all. Matter of fact, the word comprehended here is the same exact word that's used in Philippians chapter 3 that says, if that I may apprehend for that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. It's the very same word. You know what the word apprehend means when you plug it in that same thought, when you plug it in, when it didn't apprehend? In other words, the darkness was no match for the light. The light dispelled the darkness. You turn a light on in any dark room and the darkness leaves. Can I tell you that the light of the world, hallelujah, dispels darkness? It did, it is, and it will. And I've had that backwards my whole life. Can I give you the thought of it? Get it where we maybe can comprehend what we're talking about. The darkness don't overpower it. Can I say it that way? Have you ever seen darkness put out a light? Have you ever seen darkness put out a candle? It don't have that power to do that. Light always is prevailing. You can put the candle out, but the darkness won't put it out. And when the candle goes out, the darkness comes back. But my friend, the darkness did not put the candle out. No, sir. Well, can I say happy day? The light shineth in darkness. And look what the light conquered. Look where it competed in darkness. But look what the light conquered. And the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness did not overpower the light. Oh, happy day. And can I say that from that day to this, light still prevailing. Hallelujah. Now, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And I guess because I always read verse 14, I always equated 14 with 5. And I never bothered to study it. But once I studied it, and once I took it down to the level of getting down word per word and looking at the tenses of the word and looking at all those things, you find out that's not a defeat at all. It's just the opposite. The reason you're sitting here is because the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. The light overtook the darkness in your life. Happy day. And the light continues to overtake darkness on a daily basis, on a regular basis. He is the light of the world. If you took every bulb and every Christmas light and every Christmas, hey, you can't turn on enough lights, happy day, to celebrate the light of the world. There ain't no such thing. They ain't never made that many. Hallelujah. I say light up the night, hallelujah. He's worthy. He is the light of the world. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.